I will say it. I do think Doctor Strange has moved into the top spot on Marvel's most well-made movie.
Enjoyed Doctor Strange. I do stand by, I think that Winter Soldier was the best made one. I just felt like the writing was really tight on Winter Soldier, and I don't know, it like all meshed together really well. Doctor Strange was really good though. I felt like stuff went together really well in it. Yeah, I liked, like, I thought everybody did really well in it and stuff. I thought that the villain was a little generic. To me, I don't know, he came off, it almost seemed like Christopher Eccleston in Thor 2.
Yeah, but I think the villain can be, like, generic, because I think the villain was kind of secondary to this story.
Yeah, and I mean, it was very much his, like, you know, coming into his powers and everything. Spoiler, he has powers.
And the main villain is Dormammu, who's, like, the big bad. The other guy is basically just there, like, he's just the
He's a tool, basically.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't think he needed to be that big.
I know. I thought it went together really well, and I like Benedict Cumberbatch a lot. And yay, there's new Sherlock and Jim.
Yeah, and the thing I really loved about Doctor Strange was like the effects, which everybody compares to something like Inception. The thing I didn't like about Inception, it seemed to be just effects without
no substance or
no
action.
Substance. In this movie, and big time spoilers in this podcast, by the way, but
should have came before the spell.
Yeah.
But
the way the effects were used, like when time's reversed in it, things are going backwards, but they're hitting people as going forwards in time.
Yeah, it's not like happening behind.
Yeah,
and like people walking backwards behind them.
Yeah, and there's cool moments where people get trapped inside stuff that was exploded before, and it goes back. And when the reality warping, which you see in the trailers and stuff like that, like, it's done in a way where somebody's basically undoing a puzzle, like a building's a puzzle, and it's pulling it apart. But it's pulled in apart in a way that makes it work, because the characters jump from piece to piece as it's being pulled apart, or the parts start falling on people.
Yeah, I liked how it wasn't just, like, it wasn't, like, just another action superhero movie where, like, oh, we gotta have, like, big explosions or something, you know? It was very neat how, like, they're fighting, and then they twist the buildings around each other. So they send, like, a person flying with the building, or they trap the person, you know, like, with pieces of the building.
Or, like, when the Sanctum gets, the New York one gets turned upside down at one point, and Cumberbatch starts falling, and it's done in a practical way. It's just not like, oh, they flipped the set.
Yeah,
it felt like stuff automatically started falling, so it felt like it did it, but all the work they put into it with practical effects and the visual effects.
Yeah, and that was the thing, was I think with Inception was like, it didn't seem like it had practical effects.
And
it was just like, we're going to blow you away.
And this one might not have. But they used the special effects in a way, and I mean, used the CGI in a way that made you feel like it was a practical effects. Like, because you can do it with CGI, but you gotta make it feel like as if it was something that was there, and it may not have actually been there.
I mean, and also, special effects are really, really awesome and everything, but people really can't underestimate practical effects too, because the best example of that is the Hobbit movies, where Peter Jackson relied way too much on special effects. He took things that in the Lord of the Rings movies, he would have used, like, makeup, costumes, prosthetics, like, practical hands-on stuff. And because he had new toys, he did it digitally with a lot of stuff in the Hobbit movies. And it, like, ugh. I have not gone back to watch the Hobbit movies since I got them. But I watch Lord of the Rings, like, all the time.
I would never go back and watch Lord of the Rings.
I love Lord of the Rings. Shut the fuck up.
They're good movies and all, but they're way too long.
But
my point is
that, like, you can have digital effects and they're really cool and everything, but you still have to have, like, something that grounds them in reality. So practical effects are really good. And even something like in Iron Man, when, you know, his costume is, like, a lot of it's digital, but they even make the noises of, like, the pieces coming together.
Yeah, that's why
and, like, the mechanics of it moving
that's
and everything.
What I'm talking
like,
about.
Sound.
Like, that's why I was talking about, like, you do it digitally, but you gotta make the digital seem like a practical effect.
Yeah.
Like, by making stuff look damaged or something like that. What they did in this one with the digital effects, like, they feel like somebody's actually like, oh, somebody moved a set piece here and stuff like that. And they could have done that. Or it could be like a digital effect. Either way, like, it's supposed to be seamless. That's the thing about digital effects when it doesn't work. It doesn't seamlessly go into it.
Yeah, and one of the things too with the way they apply the movements of the buildings is that nothing looks like it's breaking either. Mm. Like it all is like rotating. And I thought that looked really cool. So it kind of like had a continuum and things weren't being destroyed either.
It was very
either.
Clockworky.
Yeah, it was very
it
clockworky.
Like you
and
a
like
clock.
Is it tessellations? I think where it's just like, you know, like the patterns repeat and they like keep coming in together. So like I thought that was really cool. So it wasn't like your standard like, oh, explosion, building kick, you know.
And there was a lot of humor in the movie, which
it was
really
funny.
Good.
There were a lot of really funny parts.
And I'd heard that Dan Harmon came in and worked on the script for it, so maybe like he helped with some of the humor.
Which I find really funny. Like I feel like he was like he had to make it better or something because like we know how he feels about Inception, so
yeah,
like he fucking hates it.
Either he's making fun of it just to make fun of it because fuck Dan Harmon is like. He's a admitted asshole about a lot of shit. So either that or he really hates it. But, like, if you ever listen to his podcast, he talks so much shit about Inception.
I feel like
stuff.
Inception's over. Like, I personally don't like Christopher Nolan, like, period.
I find him
annoying as fuck.
I liked his independent films a lot better than when he started doing bigger films and stuff like that. But the humor is good in it and stuff. And Ben coming back is good in it. Amy Adams, she does a really good job. Well,
it's not Amy.
Whatever. What's
it's Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams. She's a mean girl either way. Right?
I heard she does car commercials in Japan. Yeah.
Well, actually, I think she does do car commercials in Japan. But,
her hair is insured for $10,000.
Yeah, she's good in it, even though she's not in it much at all.
She's really not.
And I like that their
she
romance...
She actually, like, it could have actually been anybody, quite
yeah.
frankly.
And I like the fact that their romance is not really part of the story.
Yeah, like, it's really not. But her character did suffer from the fact that it was like, why are you there? Like, she was good, you know, and, like, they were good together, but it was like... Marvel, you couldn't have found something for the one other woman in the movie to do.
Well, she did. She saved his life.
Like
twice.
Yeah, but, like, she's not in, like, a continuous part of the story or nothing. Okay, like, Rosario Dawson, she is constantly a part of the story, like, when she's introduced into the Netflix shows. She's not just, like, they pop up and, like, she helps them. Like, she goes and she fights with them and stuff now. Like...
I think she
do
was
better.
In,
do
think,
better with the movie.
No, I think she was in this movie just as much as Rosario Dawson's in an episode of like Daredevil.
No, he
like
just
that.
Shows up at the hospital, gets patched up, and then leaves. I'm talking about in like Luke Cage, like she's on the streets with him, like doing stuff. Like
yeah.
She's part of the story.
And that's like later in the first Daredevil, she's only in it for like I think one episode or something like
I don't
that.
Know, as a female viewer of a lot of the superhero movies, I'm just saying, like, you could have, like, the women do more stuff.
The only way you could have did that in this movie is basically if they made, like, Mordor a woman or something like that. Because the only characters that are actually doing anything, there's only, like, four characters. And this movie doesn't actually have that many characters actually
it
doing
anything.
It doesn't.
Like, it's not a
so
huge
ensemble movie.
So,
basically, you got Strange, Mordor, the Ancient One, and the main bad guy, and then you got, Rachel McAdams' character. And that's basically it.
Christine Palmer.
Christine Palmer's
name.
But
see,
that's it.
Like, you can't even fucking remember her name.
I don't even think she's a character from the books, though.
People were saying that, like, okay, because I haven't read these ones, but, like, I guess Christine Palmer is another night nurse, and that's why people thought she was going to be the night nurse. And, like, you know, breaking my heart, replacing Rosario Dawson. Like,
well,
Rosario Dawson's a goddess.
No,
you can't.
Rosario Dawson's character is a different character. They basically
yeah,
take little
but,
bits
well,
of
Well, no,
characters.
Both of them are, like, the night nurse or whatever. But, like, she's not the night nurse in the movie.
Well, the night nurse is, like, is actually one of the magical characters. The character Rosie O'Dowson, they basically took little bits of that Night Nurse and combined it with another character, basically melded it into two characters. So, like, she's, like, basically a new character, even though you got the name there. But her character, like, Doctor Strange really, I mean, he's had love interests in the books, but it's not really that big of a deal. So I thought when somebody announced that her character was going to be in, I was like, oh, this is going to be shoehorned in. But they didn't do that, so I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't shoehorned in exactly. I just...
And I think, it, like, I don't know, if it wasn't...
She's a background person.
Yeah, that's all that character really is, though. It's basically a background character. I mean, well, I don't think you would even noticed it if it wouldn't have been a big star. You would have been like, oh,
and that's kind of the thing, is that, like, she's a good actress, and she's a pretty big name, and she didn't do a lot.
Yeah, that happens when you got big movies and stuff like that. Like, it's like characters that don't get that much to do and stuff. But, like, I think you mainly notice it because she is a big name and stuff. If it had been a nobody, we would have been like, oh, that's... Because basically, they're not even a couple. What it's implied in the movie, she's just somebody that he fucked a couple of times and they had sex and then they broke up because he's an asshole and stuff.
Well, I mean, because it seems like part of his character is that he's, like, not really focused on that side of his life, is that he's, like, you know, career-focused and achievement-focused. But, you know, just as a female viewer of a lot of these movies, you know, it is a hard pill to swallow. A lot of times when you see, like, they cast very talented women in a lot of these roles, and, you know, like, I'm sorry, in Batman vs. Superman, Amy Adams... Very talented actress, and, like,
yeah, but
she was superfluous a lot of the movie. So, I don't know.
But with that, if I was writing that script, I wouldn't have had her in that movie at all. And people would have threw an absolutely fucking fit about that if you did that.
I just wish that, like, the movies did a better job, like, have them do more.
You can't even, like, the thing about Batman versus Superman is, like, you can't even, like, start talking about characters not doing enough because there's too much in those fucking movies.
That movie had too much. But I'm just drawing the point, like, you know, that's why I am super excited about, like, the Wonder Woman movie because center stage.
Well, that's the thing.
And I can't wait for Captain Marvel because the girl is going to be center stage.
The problem with, like, that's the main problem is, like, when you have women being secondary characters, you want them to be bigger, but if the male character is the main character, he's automatically going to get most of it. So now, put the female character as the lead character. Now you can say, okay, that's more of a footing, like, an equal footing, like, now, because, like, now the male characters can be the supporting characters.
Yeah, that's why I just want to see more of that. You know, like, I'm really hopeful that, like, the next Ant-Man movie, the Wasp, has, like, way more to do in it, you know?
Well, it's supposed to be her origin story.
Yeah, like, just stuff like that, you know? That's why I'm also very, very excited about Rogue One, which they had a trailer in front of Doctor Strange, because Disney. it was, like, all Disney stuff. Because I'm really happy with, like, the last movie and Rogue One coming out, because, like, the girls are the main characters, and the girls are the ones doing all the action, and the girls are leading everything, you know? And there was a commercial for a children's charity that was before that, and the kids were in the hospital, and they were, like, pretending and playing Star Wars, and it was, like, all girls, and, like, they were, like, you know, doing everything, and I thought that was really cool, because girls should have something to emulate as well.
That's why it's important to have the female lead movies and stuff.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Like, with Captain Marvel and, like, Wonder Woman and stuff. Because, like, if you have all these male characters being the leads in these movies, you're pushing female characters as secondary characters. And secondary characters, by nature, are secondary. Like, yeah. So you need an equal footing with the leads so it equals everything out and stuff.
That's what I think. I kind of liked Winter Soldier a lot too, because it became this, like, really good partnership between the three of them, you know? Like,
well,
between
the Cap,
Black Widow, and Falcon. Like, I don't know, like, it became a really good partnership between
the three of them. Well, this is going to lead into one of the cutscenes in, like, Doctor Strange, but the thing about those Cap movies is, like, after the first one, the second one, and the third one, they're not Captain America movies. Those are ensemble Avengers movies.
Yeah.
And they're very good, but they're not Captain America movies anymore, and that's why everybody,
like,
gets
Avengers
more of an equal footing.
1.5.
Yeah. But the cutscene, like I said, spoilers here, but the cutscene with Thor in it, the first one, is leading into Hulk, I mean, really, and then
Ragnarok.
which has the Hulk in it, and
now apparently Doctor Strange, yay!
So is that movie going to be basically like the Cat movies now? Is it going to have a bunch of characters in it? Because they've hinted that other characters might be in it too.
I'm wondering.
So like, or is it going to be more of an ensemble character?
And I think that that would work well because like the first Thor, I think the things that worked really well with Chris Hemsworth was when he was playing off of the other people, you know, like that stuff worked super well. So I think that'll make it a better movie. You know, like I enjoyed the Thor movies immensely, but I think that he does better with the other ones with him, you know? So I think that's going to be a good addition.
Yeah. I think it'll be good. That movie. And the second cut scene basically was with Mordor, and he's going to be basically a serial killer, I guess.
He's like a wizard Dexter. I don't know.
I don't know. He was like, one of the main bad guys always in the Doctor Strange books.
See, I've never read any Doctor Strange books.
So you gotta know, like, going in, seeing him. That's why the first one, still pictures were released, everybody was like, oh, I guess he's gonna be the bad guy in the movie. It turns out he wasn't the bad guy. But
I feel like he was a little betrayed at the end of it. So that's what's, like, spurring him into the next phase.
Yeah, if they do a sequel or something. So I haven't heard that much buzz actually about Doctor Strange.
I haven't I was looking and I saw some, you know, like a lot of critics are, the first thing they're talking about is the special effects and the visual aspect of the movie. The other part that it's popped up like leading up to the movie and it is resurfacing again is the whitewashing of the characters, which is a valid criticism of the movie. It borrows heavily from like this idea of Asian mysticism, you know, and there really aren't that many Asian actors in it. There's like one that has an actual speaking role.
Well, the whole thing about the Tilda Swanson character is the fact that I actually think that casting came from a good place, but it was misguided because it didn't do like intersectional feminism. They didn't think of like,
they thought like, we're gonna make it a woman.
Yeah,
it's gotta be a white woman.
Yeah, well, I don't think like they were thinking, well, it had to be a white woman. I just think they were like, we're gonna be more progressive. We're gonna be more inclusive. So we're gonna make this male character a female character without thinking like, oh. Well, if you were going to do it, maybe you should have made it an Asian female character, you know what I mean? So they didn't think it totally through all the way, and I think it kind of hurt them right there in that aspect. But the Doctor Strange thing is another example, like with Iron Fist. These are characters that came from a time when instead of having like an Asian character like Iron Fist could have been, he could have been an Asian an Asian
like
rich
a biracial
boy.
Person.
But they didn't. So that's why like people were like, why didn't they recast it as an Asian character this time? And like with Doctor Strange, like Kurt Busiek, the comic book writer, has pointed out, if you look at his first appearance, he looks Asian in it. It's never said, but he kind of does. So
well, and they borrow very heavily for the aesthetic.
But back then, there would have never been a book like with leads. They were always white leads.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Holds true today.
But yeah, that was a problem with the Tilda Swinton thing. I thought it was like a step, but it wasn't a step. They didn't think it through enough.
Just one of those things. Like, so I think it's a very perfectly valid criticism.
Oh yeah, it is.
And,
it's a criticism.
And there's a line in the movie that really bothered me. I didn't think it was funny when I saw it in the trailers, and I still don't think it's funny. There's a part where Doctor Strange has come into, you know, he's gonna be training there and everything. And what did you say the guy's name was?
Mordor.
He gives him a slip of paper, and Doctor Strange is like, oh, what is this, my mantra or something, you know? And the guy's like, oh, it's our Wi-Fi password. We're not savages. And I'm like, that line just still bothers me because, like, they're setting themselves up with this aesthetic that they're in this, like, you know, like, poor rural village, like, in Nepal and everything, and, you know, like, basically, like, oh, they're third world and stuff, but we've got Wi-Fi because we're civilized. Like, shut the fuck up, you know? I hate hearing the word savage applied in the context with, like...
I can see where the criticism is. I don't think it was a bad, like, like a bad joker or like an offensive joke as much, but I can see where people like think it is. But because like the thing is like, yeah, those type of countries don't look like they would have Wi-Fi. And like, I think the thing about Doctor Strange is like, he's an asshole, like Tony Stark. So he's going in thinking like these people are savages in a lot of ways and stuff. But also like, you got the character of Mordo, he's a Western civilization.
Yeah, well, and see, that's why I didn't think that it was, like, necessarily a straight-up criticism of Strange himself, because this guy is also a Westerner, so I really felt like it was a very, like, first world versus third world kind of comment, and it was, and those comments tend to be, you know, usually, like, white Westerners referring to,
well, I think
you know,
that's what
other
it was.
Nationalities and things, and that kind of thing just bothered me.
I could see where, like, it was kind of bothering. I think the joke didn't work in a way because it wasn't done. Like, I think if another character delivered it beside Modo, or if, like, it would have been, like, just some random other character in there with him, I think it would have worked better because that character could have reacted to him in an angry way, saying, like, you know, we're not savages.
Yeah,
here,
but he plays it up for laughs.
Yeah, I think,
and it
yeah.
was, like, I was really put off by that the first time I saw it in the trailer, and I still didn't think it was funny in the movie. So it's just, you know, there are some things that could definitely be worked on.
But Tilda Swinton's not going to be back anyways because she's dead.
She's dead.
Well, she can't come back.
Spoilers.
Bring her back.
But overall, I enjoyed the movie, and you know, like, the effects are really cool, and of course they had like the doors, you know, so that won me over. But
I still say the start out my thing. I think it is replaced Winter Soldier for me is overall a better one because I don't like the ending of Winter Soldier that much, actually. And
oh, but he saves him.
I definitely don't like the ending of the Civil War that much because I think it falls flat at the ending of it. And all of a sudden, they're back to being kind of friendly with each other through this phone call thing or whatever. I don't buy that. But whatever. I think visually, this one works better. I think it wraps itself up better than most of the Marvel movie does. I think it's visually the best one. I think the acting's good, like, overall and good. I think they captured the character, like, very well.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I really think that it was, like, it had a good, tight script and everything. There was just, a little something about the energy of it that I felt like it was a little subdued sometimes, like, just the energy level, so that...
But don't you think it was kind
of
on
purpose? I'm a
little
bit of a hyper person.
Because it's not an action film, but
it's
there's
not,
a lot of things happening because... Basically, it's like the whole thing, like, well, they're moving their hands, you know, like Magneto hands.
Yeah, so that's more like a personal preference, I guess, for me, because, like, my favorite one, like, I'm not saying it's the best one, but my favorite one's Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's just because it's a little more, like, hyper and all over the place.
Yeah, I agree like that, but, like, I think, also, like, I've said this to somebody online, and I'll say it again, I think until this movie, I think Luke Cage was the most comic book of the Marvel Universe stuff. Because the way the story moves in it, the way the story's told, the way the characters interact, and then the ending where he fights this guy in a suit and stuff, it's very much a comic book ending. I think Luke Cage was the most comic book adaption yet, and I think Doctor Strange is the most of the movies. Because the movie with Doctor Strange is very much a comic book concept and stuff like that. The first Captain America movie, I think, was right there being that, too. But I think Doctor Strange does it better than any of the other movies.
I really enjoyed the first Cap movie.
I did, too. It's the only Cap movie for some of Avengers movies. And I don't say that like some people do, like it's a bad thing. It's like, I
think, too, like, the thing of it, too, is, like, I just love how it's all, like, it all comes together, you know, and, like, that end credit scene that... Like, you don't see him at first, you just hear him talking, but then it's Chris Hemsworth. And he's in his, like, you know, like, down-to-earth, like, literally, attire. And he's drinking his gigantic beer and stuff. So, like, I like when stuff like that happens. And, you know, also, I gotta just, like, hope that they have his roommate in Ragnarok from the, what is it, Funny or Die?
Yeah.
Yeah, from the Funny or Die video. Like, that would give me life, okay? Like, I need it. That video was hilarious.
Benjamin Cumberbatch also, like, I thought, like, did a great job of being the larger than life character at really
it's the
good
cheekbones.
The really good comic book moments with him, like the part with him and Thor where he's like, "So you want me to help you find your father?" He's like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Okay, let's do that." It's very, like, he captures that moment very
and,
well.
And, like, stuff when he, like, does his poses with the cape and stuff.
It works
yeah,
very well.
It works
He's very,
very
good.
Well.
He does it very
and
well.
And it's, you know, like, the cheekbones and
yeah.
stuff, so.
So, yeah, I thought overall it's, like, fast. Like, I say with a lot of people, like.
And it wasn't overly long, yeah. Like,
no,
it
was
not
wasn't.
Overly long. Because some
I
of them drag
that.
On.
I love that. I don't know what time
That's
it
why
clocked
I like
in
Deadpool too.
compared to like the other movies, but it just didn't.
It was
seem
like an
that
hour
long.
And 45 minutes, I think. So that like Deadpool, like it was like a good story. It didn't drag on for 3 hours.
And the only moment that really like dragged a little bit is when it had to, and that's at the beginning when it's basically doing surgery stuff, and that's just because they need to explain that this guy's a really great surgeon.
Yeah.
At the beginning. And the rest of the movie moves really quick. Like, his training moves really quick.
Yeah.
And everything else moves really fast through it. So, like, I was really glad. And I loved the ending of how it happened. Like, it was a very cerebral, intelligent thing of him looking at time and stuff.
Yeah, I liked his, like, you know.
It's very Doctor Who-ish.
Yeah, it's just, like,
it's
repetitively, like, and, like, tricking somebody into, you know.
For a guy that's almost cast as Doctor Who, that was a very Doctor Who-ish ending, the way he does it. Oh, and the people that's complaining about Dormammu not looking like he does in the books. Yeah, I wish his body would have looked more fire like it is in the books. But, like, I thought it was really cool the way they did it, the way it was folding and stuff like that. Like, almost like.
Well, and it
fire.
Kept with kind of, like, the aesthetic of the movie, too.
Yeah, I thought it did, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good,
And I guess, like, I was reading online, I guess Benedict Cumberbatch did the motion capture for him, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's doing that for everything now he's gonna be in.
Smaug.
So why you cast somebody like him to be, like, something like that? Like, what?
Honestly,
why did you do video capture for a stupid dragon?
I really did like him as Smaug.
Yeah, his voice.
I,
otherwise, what do you do besides just lay there on the ground? How is he monster catching a dragon that barely
all,
moves?
He had to, like, you know, protect his horde. But,
he doesn't do hardly anything.
Well, he wasn't really supposed to be in it for that long anyway.
It's like
it
this
was
movie,
a book that got turned into three fucking like, movies, okay?
This movie's like, oh, Benjamin Cumberbatch did the motion capture for this character. What? His eyeballs? The character's just talking. What the fuck did he do? Motion cap. There has to be motion and motion capture. What do you do?
I don't know. I liked him as Smaug. But, okay. So, yeah, we saw the movie, and then there were trailers for Rogue One. Awesome. The next Pirates of the Caribbean movie, questionable.
My problem with that was, like, the last one, I didn't hate the last Pirates of the Caribbean.
It lost steam,
it's just
though. It lost steam.
And this one, it kind of looks like. At first, I thought Davy Jones was coming back because those characters that were shown in a trailer, I first thought was, like, the Davy Jones characters.
These ones look like ghosts.
Yeah.
The other ones were
or ghouls
skeletons.
Or something. Yeah.
The other ones were skeletons.
No, I'm talking about Davy Jones. Like,
oh,
the fish.
The fish people?
Yeah. I thought they was, like, them at first. And then you don't even see Jack Sparrow at all in it, or any
and
of the
I guess,
characters.
And I guess Will Turner's supposed to be back in it. So
yeah.
So
you never see any of them.
But not Keira Knightley, apparently. I don't know. She knows when to get out. She knows when to cut her loss. No, like, I don't know. Like,
I
really
like. I mean,
I'll
watch it, but, like, on DVD, but I probably won't go see it.
I really liked the original Pirates. I wasn't really sold on the last one. It was okay. Like, I enjoyed it, but, like, I don't really rewatch it. I used to be a gigantic Johnny Depp fan, but, you know, in light of him being an abusive douchebag, I'm not super psyched about him anymore. So I'm also like really disappointed in him being cast in the next Fantastic Beasts movie. I don't know. And allegedly he might actually be in Fantastic Beasts, like the first one. So I don't know. He's a talented actor, but
you know who?
He's an abusive asshole.
Yeah. It's obviously, like, an alcoholic because
he
beat
his fucking wife. Like, stop hiring him for shit.
He keeps appearing, like, drunk places even before that stuff came out. Like, remember that? Like, there was, like, 6 months straight where he was a drunk everywhere.
Like, I used to really like him, but he skeeves me the fuck out now. And I don't feel great about seeing movies with him.
Well, nobody's making you.
But I wanted to see Fantastic Beasts and now he's in it. Like,
so? They're those assholes. We went and seen Batman versus Superman, and Mr. Eugenics is in that movie. Well, he is. Jeremy Irons, or what's his name? Is it Jeremy Irons?
I dislike the things that come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Every time he talks.
But,
like, just shut the fuck up.
Rogue One looked really good.
Yeah. And then also the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, that looked good. Yeah. But we were coming out of the theater and I was like, but can Guardians of the Galaxy live up to its own, like, legend? Because everybody was, like, before that movie came out, remember, everybody was saying this movie's going to tank, yep, and it's going to be Marvel's first dud, and then it
and blew
up.
And then it
up.
Was, like, their highest grossing
one. Yep.
I don't know, like, I'm looking forward to it, because I like everybody that's in it, too, and just, I think it works, and I'm excited about it. Oh, there was another trailer for Wonder Woman released, and that looks really good.
Yeah, like, that trailer looked really good.
I'm super excited. Like, there's a lot of good shit coming out next year.
What was the other trailer? Oh, the new trailer for a Series of Unfortunate Events, Lemony Snicket, looked good.
Yes.
Neil Patrick Harris. I love how everybody's criticizing him for being understated, and it's like...
No, no,
that's
I'm going to
the character
this.
Is in
no,
the book.
No, I'm going to address this. I think he looks fucking fantastic, and he seemed fucking menacing, okay? I didn't like Jim Carrey in the movie because he was, like, goofy, and also they made the movie, like, 90% about him and not the kids. It's about the kids. Like, Count Olaf kind of, like, is in the background a lot of stuff, and, like, he's got, like, his machinations going on and everything, and well, the kids are trying to convince people that he's evil, and, like, nobody's listening to him.
He ends up being, like, the baddie in almost every book, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's disguised as
somebody
else.
Yeah, he shows up disguised as other people and all this stuff. And, like, he's, like, he does act ridiculously because he's supposed to be, like, a bad actor, like, over the top and stuff. But it's not, like, constant. And the movie, they paid for Jim Carrey to be in it. So they're like, we gotta put him in your face the whole time. And Jim Carrey's kind of fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Like, kind of really annoying. And he's also an asshole, too. But Neil Patrick Harris, like, he came off as, like, it was slightly over the top still. But he came off.
But the books are really over the top,
yeah,
too. So
yeah.
I think he can balance that line between.
Yeah, he
it
came off menacing.
But
he did. And I look forward to watching it.
I do too. I look
I'm
forward
excited.
To seeing that. Really good. What else has come out recently? Oh, we've been watching S.H.I.E.L.D. We went through four episodes. We were behind.
I like the stuff with the Ghost recently. Rider.
I
like
too.
Him. I like it.
And I like the design of it and stuff. I know some people think the Ghost Rider effects aren't great, but it's
like,
one,
it.
It's a TV show. It's not going to have movie effects. And two, I think they kind of are capturing the design of that Ghost Rider from the books, which is more of a, not a full skeletal design, but it's more of like an expression of a skeleton, you know what I mean? Like the ones
it's
in the movie.
It's almost like the Punisher's logo or something.
Yeah. Well, it's like the movie is more of like what an actual skeleton kind of would look like on fire and stuff like
yeah.
that. Where this one, it isn't as much. It looks more demonic and actually in other ways.
Yeah.
But
I like him. I like him.
I haven't watched any of the DC stuff so far this year. I need to catch up on Supergirl before I start on this season's DC stuff. But yeah.
The other thing is that The Walking Dead's back.
Nobody cares about The Walking Dead.
I care about The Walking Dead.
Nobody cares about
The Walking Dead. Yeah, Lucille's thirsty. I don't know, like, I enjoy The Walking Dead, but it's like, it can often be hit or miss for me. And the season opener was, like, it was predictable. Like, if you did the math, like... There were certain folks that had to die, and, like, that's how it worked out.
I want to ask you a question.
I wasn't surprised. I was
would
not
The Walking
surprised.
Dead survive in a non-internet culture? I don't think it would.
I don't think so.
I think it'd be canceled in a year. It wouldn't have
I don't think so. I think it's very much a participatory thing, and that's what, like, gets people. But it's, like, I read a review of it once, and somebody described it as, like, the best moments of the show often are, like, not even anyone talking or anything like that. It's a purely visual moment, and that's very true. There are long stretches in some of the episodes, and sometimes, like, multiple episodes in a row, where, like, nothing really compelling is happening, and then they'll have one episode where, like, they show somebody being killed or something, and then it's, like, you're reinvested or whatever. One thing, though, I thought it was ridiculous was that people were, like, freaking out about the deaths, and they were like, oh, it was so extra violent, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, A, like, you obviously didn't read the book, because that's how Negan is. And then B, don't, like, who do you think you're kidding? Like, that's the exact reason why you watch The Walking Dead. It's for this, like, kind of vicarious, like, bloodthirst. That's why people watch Game of Thrones. Like, don't even tell me it's not.
I think The Walking Dead, the most appealing thing about it is the memes and stuff the fans make from it. I don't even think it's the show.
Can I just say I loved some of the Glenn shit? Like, I really loved it.
Well, think about it.
The Glenn pumpkin.
Do you remember memorable moments from that show because of what happened on the show or what people did afterwards making fun or talking about it?
See, like, it's definitely...
Rick crying, the moments of, like...
Coral!
Yeah. The moments of, like, Daryl and his brother and stuff like that.
Like, it's definitely... Like, I enjoy when I watch it, but, like, there are parts that it's like, oh, come on, this is dragging us. But I think, like, they shot themselves in the foot by, like, expanding their seasons to too many episodes. When it had less episodes, it had, like, tighter writing. Now they have filler episodes, and they're super annoying.
So I'm glad they never expanded Doctor Who to more.
Yeah, I just...
Because, like, when people are like, oh, Doctor Who needs, like, 20-some episodes, I was like, no, it does, sometimes it stumbles with the amount of episodes it has, more or less, like, doesn't need 20-some episodes.
Yeah, and, it's also, like, The Walking Dead tends to write itself into corners because, like, they'll try to build suspense for something, and then in the description for the next episode, like, the character you thought was gonna die, like, they're talking about them, so you know they're not gonna die, so it's not suspenseful. Or,
but like... Saying it's bad as Doctor Who, and it's supposed to be a surprise, the character showing up, and it's called...
Invasion of the Daleks.
Or,
you know, like, with the Glenn thing, they were teasing his death, like, two seasons prior to that. Like, they started with the baseball bat scene and stuff.
I think it was stupid.
And, like, it just, it didn't mean anything to me when he died. Like, but the reactions of the rest of them, like, they were really powerful. Although I will say, like, a lot of these folks that are petitioning for Andrew Lincoln to get an Emmy nomination out of it, like, did we watch the same episode? Like, I'm sorry, like, Andrew Lincoln, I'm not impressed with his emotional range as an actor. And that's why everyone was like, Coral, you know, like.
I still say Rick, the best Rick set guy does it locally. Cosplays.
Yeah, our cosplayer is, like, really good.
There's a local guy that cosplays Rick. And, like, he was actually in a photo with
him. Cecil.
I don't know his last name, but he is so good at Rick. Like,
I think his Facebook page is Cecil Grimes.
Yeah.
I think is what he put
up. He had a picture with the guy that plays him.
And Merle.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
So, yeah. You know, like, I really enjoy The Walking Dead, but, you know, there are fuck-ups on it. Let me just say. And, like, I was not surprised by who died. I will say, though, that I was very surprised at the end of... I just finished volume 26 last week, and the ending really surprised me, and I hadn't been surprised by it in quite a while, so... It was good. I recommend it. I recommend volume 26.
Okay. I don't think there's too much of Robert Kirkman stuff I really like at all.
I don't really like Robert Kirkman. I can't stand hearing him talk. Oh, that guy. Who was it that had the Halloween costume that dressed up as him?
I don't know.
It was somebody online.
I don't know what you do dress up as Roy Kirkman besides dress normal and maybe have food stains on your belly.
No, he had like the money bags and he was like carrying around the book on.
Yeah.
It was a funny costume.
I hate him. He's so overrated.
Yeah, so those are, like, the recent things that we've watched. And then upcoming is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and Rogue One. And Disney has their new movie coming out.
What?
You know, I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. Mona?
Oh, the one with the rock in it. So,
yeah, and it's, like, a Hawaiian story, a Polynesian story. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Speaking of stuff.
I need to look up how to say her name.
Yeah, and we can end on this. Did you see about your movie? Yet you liked Hero 6.
Big Hero 6 has a cartoon company.
Yeah, they're doing
Yay.
A cartoon of it. I've seen that.
And most of the voice actors are going to come back too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Which, that's a really cool thing about the How to Train Your Dragon cartoon is that all of the actors come back to do the voices for it.
That's cool.
Like, every single one of them. So, yay.
Okay, Mar, do you have a song you need to end this?
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka. That's my song for tonight.
That's not a song.
I'm hooked on a feeling. I am believing.